Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all my shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, folks.
Yes, thank you for joining us here another week of By the By. I'm Angela.
I'm drinking. I'm Bradford.
We should have anticipated that one.
Of course. Yes, welcome back. You've come back to another hour or so of us rambling on and on about things that are important to us, might be of interest to you, mm-hmm. and if we're very lucky, important to you.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. We hope so.
Yeah.
And if not, why are you listening to us? So what's going on? Anything new and exciting?
I'll say we've had quite a bit going on that we'll cover in future podcasts.
Future podcasts.
But coming up now in less than a month, we leave for Passion in Paradise.
Holy smokes, that's right.
The Swingers takeover here in Australia.
That's right.
And then, excuse me, we'll
no.
be...
I'm sorry.
Wow. And then we'll be home for about a week and a half, and we head out to Cancun to go to Desire for this Life on the Swing Set takeover. So excited for that.
That's right. And so as soon as we're done with that, we go to the We Got a Thing and Swinging Down Under takeover. Because,
yes.
You know, look, we like fucking. We thought that our vacation should be done in a place... where there's a lot of fucking,
mm-hmm.
which is not our bedroom. Though there is a lot of fucking in our bedroom, we just needed a change of venue.
Yeah, so if you want to come and join us either week.
That's right.
It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Viva la Mexico.
Yeah. Especially like Life on the Swing Set. I was reviewing the calendar of stuff that they have going on because they have different things going on during the day, different themes at night, and different parties. And it's just... it's going to be fun.
It's going to be epic. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We get to do our first live podcast mm-hmm. there. So I think that's on Thursday of the week. So
yes.
Pretty excited for that. Have no idea what to expect. We have no idea what we're going to say. I mean, it's going to be basically like our normal podcast where we just get on and ramble about what's been going on
uh-huh.
over the last few weeks. But it's going to be with a bunch of people that we will have potentially played with.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so excited. So yeah. Yay!
That's coming up.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. We've got this coming Friday,
mm-hmm.
we've got a sex ed class at Our Secret Spot. We are doing the science, art of, and science of flirting.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit on icebreakers.
Yes.
How doth one break thine ice?
Hopefully not with an ice pick.
How about an ice dick?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, show me your popsicle. Why is Lady Marmalade now going in my head? Hey, sister, so sister. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
My brain is a little broken this yeah. evening. Yeah, it's because my stomach is full. We just had a nice big homemade pizza, and I'm mm-hmm. like all excited and like, woo!
Yeah.
And give me an hour, and I'm going to be in that like, carb and fat logy
food coma.
Yeah. I'll get logy.
Mm-hmm. And this past Sunday, September 23rd, was Bi Visibility Day.
That's right.
So hopefully you all got out and celebrated, wore your purple, I don't know, whatever you do to celebrate.
Got a tattoo. shot fireworks. Look, do something. Celebrate.
Yeah.
But really, does it need to be one day?
No.
Every day is Bi Celebration Day.
visibility.
By visibility, yeah. But celebration as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that leads us into our topic for tonight.
Yes.
Today, depending on when you're listening to this. This morning, tomorrow. I don't know.
Yesterday. I mean, because people could segment it.
That's true, that's true.
And right now, somebody's already been like, yep, I'm done with this podcast.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about bisexuality in a whole lot of arenas. Talk about bi invisibility, bi erasure, the effect of, I'm going to say social acceptance, but ultimately more social, the lack of acceptance, and the effects on individuals. It's going to just be a whole suite of topics that we had covered previously in a presentation we did for a festival earlier this year. And we had a listener who was super kind and sent us so many papers, a lot of scientific papers, research types of things.
It was like 12 to 14 scientific papers in that email.
It was a lot, yeah. So she sent us a lot of data to kind of really help us to beef it up and pad it and back up some of what we already had, add to it. And it's just so, so much information. But I think it's really important information that people need to hear, because sometimes you kind of forget how things like this really, really, truly affect individuals and how it affects us as a society.
Right. Real people. Real people.
Yeah.
So we have in front of us, each of us, 13 pages of notes that have been collated down from these however many papers. It was some crazy amount. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, thank you very much for sending.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome.
Sending those. It did take us quite a while to cull through the information. Mm-hmm. And I will admit that Angela culled through the vast majority of the information because I'm not smart enough to read papers like this.
Now, if you do want to actually read the papers, or if you want more information on them, on exactly where all this data came from, by all means, let us know. We can put it up. We can send it to you. And definitely, you know, it's good to go to the source and read it for yourself, because a lot of this is quite distilled down just to make it a manageable amount of information.
Yes. Bites. Little yes. Bites. Not yes. Big, meaty chunks. Yeah. Show us your big, meaty. Anyway. So I guess first we should start about talking just about bisexuality and how it is a bit of a minority within an already existent minority. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the LGBT community, a lot of people don't realize that the bisexual side of that represents 52% of the LGBT. So,
which is huge.
That's huge.
Because
yeah.
That's not... It's certainly not the group you hear the most about.
No.
So it's really kind of fascinating that it's that big of a number percentage-wise within
a community, yeah, that's already marginalized, yes.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of marginalization within the community of bisexuality. And it's really interesting. You know, it's something already I'm going off topic, but it's something I've thought about for a long time. And I think what it is any group that is marginalized wants to marginalize someone because they want to be normalized. And we marginalize other groups, thus normalizing ourselves.
To then lift yourself up and feel more normal.
More normal, mm-hmm, and more like everybody else. And it's something that I think we as a community, and we as a society, and we as people need to be better about and try not to do that. Mm-hmm. The way we all become equal is by treating each other equal. It's not by pushing someone else down, mm-hmm, and either excluding them or erasing them from...
Minimizing.
Yeah, minimizing,
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And it's something that we see quite often in the swinger community and in the poly community and the kink community. It's really interesting how people are so quick to snap judge and then push beneath.
Push others away. You're right.
Wow. Glad we got that recorded.
No, it's it really is just kind of fascinating, yeah, 'cause I never thought about it in that way before, and that if you're marginalizing someone else, that then you feel better about your status, your group, whatever it may be. But it completely makes sense because everyone wants to be normal. You know, everybody, yeah, wants to be part of a tribe, and everyone wants to be normal, whatever that is, because there is no real,
yeah,
true,
exactly,
normal.
There is no true, yeah, normal. We are all normal. Look in the mirror. That's a normal person. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what happens, and we've already touched on it just a bit, is bi invisibility and bi erasure. So I guess the first thing we should do is probably define those two words for people who may have never heard of it. And typically, I'll do by which one do you want to do one and me do one?
Yeah, sure, yeah. We could do that.
So when I think bi erasure, I think of the pop stars like I think it was Lady Gaga who recently came out as bisexual, and the news media immediately said that she was lesbian. Mm-hmm. Even though she had had a male partners in the past, or if you know people see us on the street, a male female couple holding hands, they assume that we're both straight or heterosexual. And so it's that even if you tell people that you're bi, they then go, "Oh, cool, but you're straight now," and that's that erasing of the legitimacy of your sexuality.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's other ways that bi erasure can happen. It is that sort of straight washing couples or gay washing couples that are similar or the same gender or opposite genders. But yeah, it's something that is just, yeah, grr.
Yeah, so and bi invisibility, it's very much along the same lines as the bi erasure, is that it's basically ignoring, removing, and re-explaining the evidence of bisexuality. And so it's people saying that it's just a phase, or you're just experimenting because eventually you'll figure out that you're either gay, lesbian, or heterosexual. And we hear that.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Quite often, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or saying, again, back to the erasure, that bisexuality isn't a real sexuality, that you just haven't made a decision yet.
Yeah, yeah. And also, and like you said, you know, a lot of people will see you with your current partner, and depending on the gender of that person, determine that you're heterosexual or homosexual, and not even considering that there could be another option, or that depending on previous partners or others within the relationship that you know, there you could be something other than heterosexual or homosexual.
And then you've got communities like the LGBT communities that are in organizations that are trying to provide help to these folks, but they don't have bi-specific programs and resources. They get the money, and even though the bisexual groups we do make up more than 50% of the groups, we aren't supported. So we don't get those bi-specific programs and resources that people really need.
Yeah. Yeah. So why is it so important then to minimize this bi-invisibility and bi-erasure? And I think we've said it so many times on the podcast before, but it is that everyone wants to feel included and part of a tribe. Everyone wants to feel like they have a group that they belong to. And when you do promote the bi invisibility within society and within larger communities, it does make people feel marginalized and alone and separate. They don't feel like they belong to any group because they feel like you're telling them that you don't have a group to belong to. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. There's no place for you to feel included.
Yeah.
So what that leads to is then the extreme amounts of mental health issues for the bisexual community. So so all this data here is mostly coming from the U.S. That's the main source of much of this data. But in comparison to heterosexuals, to lesbians, and to gay men, bisexuals have a higher rate of anxiety, depression, and other mood disorders. They have a higher reporting of self-harm, of suicidal thoughts, and suicide attempts, and they have a lower levels of social support. Again, going back to those, even the accepting organizations, they don't have the funding there that people need to find the help that they require. Bisexuals are less likely to feel comfortable with their sexuality or be out to friends and their family comparatively to the lesbian and gay community. And they have a higher rate of substance abuse, smoking, and heavy drinking, which, I mean, I do drink pretty heavily, but it's not my sexuality that causes me to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a problem. And it's something that, you know, if you're a constant listener, you know that I suffer suffer and have suffered from a lot of this, that self-harm and the suicidal thoughts was something that I struggled with for a very long time, mm-hmm. and still have some struggling with that. It still pops into your head and it's something that you can't control. And ultimately what you learn is like, that's okay. It's mm-hmm. okay to have those thoughts. It's acting on those thoughts. As soon as you feel like you're going to act on those thoughts, that's when you need to get help.
And that's where it's good to have a greater community. And whether there be community-based organizations or just communities and people and groups out, you know, within your city and within your area that you can go to and call on for help when you need that, because everybody needs help at some point. And yeah. and as long as, you know, we can try to promote this and try to get community groups out there to provide services specifically for bisexuals, then that will help those people then to have somewhere to reach out to and help to minimize some of these effects.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. that's all sort of the intro.
Yes.
The intro to all this. You made it so far. And I realize this isn't our normal sort of light and airy subject matter.
No.
I apologize for that. But this is still doesn't make it any less important. So we'll try to, you know, add some jokes. It's just going to be hard.
I was going to say, how are you going to do that?
Kind of a dour subject matter. But yeah, so... You intro the next paper, okay. The first paper, I guess it's paper one.
Yes. So this paper was all about life satisfaction, which I thought was really kind of fascinating to look at the trends of how people reported their life satisfaction based upon different factors. So there's a quote within this paper, and again, if you want sources, more than happy to send them to you. But there's a quote in this paper that says, "The minority stress model theorizes that adverse health outcomes in sexual minorities are predicted by increased exposure to environmental and lifetime stressors, discrimination, and victimization. These experiences accrue over time and have been tied to negative health outcomes, especially among older LGB adults." So... the question is then, is life satisfaction, and when I say life satisfaction, I mean like your psychological health and well-being. But is that similar for the bisexual community as it is for others within the LGBT community and amongst the heterosexual community? And then does sexual orientation predict your changes in your life satisfaction throughout adulthood? Because we all do change, and that's going to be the same no matter what group you're in. It's just a matter of how does that change happen? Is it positively? Is it negatively? So yeah, this paper was kind of looking at how people's life satisfaction was in different groups and how that changed over time.
General life satisfaction. Yeah. And so on average for most people, your life satisfaction increases the older you get. And I think mm-hmm. many of us can sort of relate to that. The older we get, the less we care about what people think and what people say and what people do. And we're just sort of like, you know what? Fuck y'all. We're all right.
You kind of figure out how to get through life.
Yeah. And so your satisfaction then yeah. increases. Again, on average, women have a greater life satisfaction than men, mm-hmm. Which I think is, again, makes sense and is fascinating. I look at, and I'm curious to see how this data changes in future generations, mm-hmm. because I think about my parents' generation, my mom traditionally had more friends than my dad. Mm-hmm. So meant, and you would typically, you assume people with a greater life satisfaction have a greater number of friends.
Do you think that that has anything to do with, as far as like your dad not having as many friends, and I know it's just one person, one instance, but do you think that that has anything to do with the fact that men are traditionally told that you're not supposed to share your emotions, you're not supposed to show weakness?
I think
do you think
so.
It has
yeah.
anything to do with that?
I think so, personally. I think it's one of those things that when you don't share those feelings, you don't share those emotions, it's hard to make connections that mm-hmm. really matter and really last.
Meaningful.
You know, we can have meaningful yeah. connections. You know, we can talk about the football, but there's no real, there's passion there, but there's no depth there. Mm-hmm. You can be very passionate about a sport, but it's the difference between watching the sport and playing the sport. It's completely different to watch something on, I'm looking at it from a very surface thing, watch it on TV, mm-hmm. watch it live, or actually play it. And I think that's sort of that a good analogy for this kind of emotional depth and what you get out of it.
Right.
And the relationships that you then build from it. You don't expect to be friends with your coach or with the quarterback if you're watching it on TV. So,
And also then those who are more educated tended to have higher life satisfaction than those with a high school diploma or less. And I'm sure that goes into just because it's easier for you to get a job. You generally have a higher paying job, et cetera, et cetera. So that kind of makes sense.
I also was listening to another podcast recently where they touched on that and said basically the more educated you are, the better you are at dealing with problems that things that are dealt to you. Not just money problems,
right,
or job problems, but you realize you have a bigger picture. So
you have better problem solving skills.
Well, it's even bigger than that, I think. I think that what they were saying was things like that sort of that fishbowl kind of thing. The bigger your ocean, the bigger your worldview, the more capable you are of dealing with issues and dealing with problems as they come up to you.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Of course, married people are more often have a higher life satisfaction than non-married people, but I think that depends on your married person. If you're staying in a relationship just because you feel like you're supposed to, I don't think your satisfaction will be as high, but
right.
I would love to see that data kind of split out a little more. Interestingly, I thought was race and ethnicity was not a significant predictor of life satisfaction. And while lesbian and gay individuals did not differ from heterosexuals, bisexuals were significantly lower on average for life satisfaction, which is really a fucking
kind of
bummer.
Disheartening, isn't it?
Because I got to tell you, my life satisfaction, you know, when I look at my personal life satisfaction over the last even 20 years has gone significantly up. I think, you know, we've talked about this before. I'm a different person now, completely, really, than I was 10 years ago. And it has to do with, for me, that sort of coming to terms with my sexuality and being out and being proud and whatnot. And it's something that has really affected my, you know, positivity. But I've been lucky in that I've had a group around me. We were lucky enough to be able to create a group around us in which it's all people who accept us, and people who don't accept us quickly get shuffled along.
Yeah. I think that's the key, because in many areas, people who are identify as bisexual don't necessarily feel like they have the ability or the safety or support to come out to those around them. But if you're not able to be out and proud and live your true life, you know, as your true self, then I can see where that would definitely negatively affect your life satisfaction and a lot of other things. But like you said, I think for both of us, I would rate our life satisfaction quite high, and it has increased, but that's because we are out to everyone. We don't hide who we are. You know, like you said, we were able to create a community around us and surround ourselves with positive people, with supportive people, and not everyone is that lucky. They don't have that option or the ability to do that.
Very true. So when you look at the overall trajectory of life satisfactions, it's a linear increase for heterosexuals. Mm-hmm. Lesbian and gay individuals, again, very similar to heterosexuals. It's also mostly linear, but the trajectory for bisexuals was not linear, which suggests that we don't have the same increase in life satisfaction as we get older. So, which is really a bummer. I think everybody has a right to, as they age, to start living their best life.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
No. So what does that all mean if you have lower life satisfaction?
Look, I mean, you know, it's funny. You know, looking at the data and reading the papers, I think for me it's easier to compare it to people we know.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know those people. We all know those people that are constantly grumpy or constantly alone or constantly miserable, but it's hard to figure out why they're miserable or why they're grumpy or why they're alone. But typically, and if that person might be you, you know, and that sucks. It absolutely sucks. But often those people are also sicker. They're, you know, more apt. So in this case, when we're looking at life satisfaction, the lesbian, gay, and bisexual adults have higher rates of loneliness and depression due to alienation from the air quotes, normal straits, which then leads to things like cardiovascular diseases and weakened immune systems and poor, overall, just poorer health. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of evidence that suggests that this is more so within the bisexual community, even than the lesbian and gay community, when you compare them.
Yeah. So basically then, if we're going to sum it up a little bit, then you have greater life satisfaction, you have better health behaviors. So when you're happy and when you feel accepted, you want to be healthy. So then when you're healthy, you feel better and you're happier. It's just that whole big kind of, so, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy kind of circle goes round and round.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I even taking it back onto me. Yeah. When I was so depressed, when I was dealing with my sexuality, it was one of those things that if I got sick, I'd be like, well, I'll get better. And if I don't, I don't. It wasn't now. If I get sick, I'm like, all right, off to the doctor. Like, we got to fix this problem. This is a problem. I need antibiotics or a splint. But Bradford, you have a headache. I need a splint. Splint my brain. You know, so it's one of those things that,
yeah.
You know, it's even little things like that where you take for granted that because you're feeling good and you're feeling like, oh, I'm sick, I need to go to the doctor. But if you feel like maybe you deserve it, I'm sick. Well, this is because I'm a bad person and nobody loves me.
Right.
And that's not the case.
No.
So, generally, life satisfaction for adults in the U.S. is stable throughout middle age and increases once you pass middle age. So that, I think that is the I'm almost going to retire syndrome.
Yes. That kind of sounds awesome.
The I'm going to go in and take a dump on my boss's desk work syndrome. There's a lot of hyphens in that syndrome. So, you know, older adults have a greater satisfaction than younger, and thus, you know, you have more well-being. When you have more well-being, you tend to be more supportive in relationships, provide more support to others. It goes out. It's building a web.
Yeah.
It's building these communities. It's building a web. It makes you a healthier person. It makes you hope that other people are healthier and want to help them. So I think the moral of this story is just be fucking nice.
Yeah. Be nice and accept people.
Yes. Yes.
You don't have to understand it. You don't have to do it yourself, but just accept people.
Yes. It's always makes me interested in, to know that so many people out there think that understanding and accepting have to go hand in hand, and they don't. You don't have to understand me in order to accept me. Yeah. You can ask questions and try to learn to understand me, but you don't have to.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You don't have to understand me. It's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So also in this paper, they were looking at health disparities between older sexual minorities and heterosexual individuals. And generally, the sexual minorities, as they aged, had higher rates of physical limitations, higher rates of immune dysfunction, mental distress, lower rates of self-acceptance, and all of this goes hand in hand with what we've, you know, been seeing in the rest of the paper earlier. But also, I think that kind of what kind of goes along with that is that older LGB adults were more likely to live alone and be childless, which then can also contributes to the loneliness and the isolation as they age. And when you do have physical limitations and it's harder for you to get out, there's not that community support. There's no one to help you get out and go somewhere and socialize with others. And you do feel a lot more alone. And it's a problem, I would say, in older adults across the board, but it, you know, if you don't have the family support and the social structure prior to that, then it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. And, you know, the moving on, the bisexual women and men reported higher rates of loneliness than lesbian and gay adults. Mm-hmm. Again, there are many senior groups that are targeting lesbian and gay adults. Mm-hmm. So that gives them that tribe, that space where they can feel like they can be themselves, but we still don't have that for the bisexual community. And, you know, there shouldn't have to be someone can't say, well, why don't they just go to one of the gay or lesbian senior groups?
Yeah.
Because that's not how it works. Often within the communities themselves, there's, like we said before, there's marginalization. The bisexuals haven't made a decision. They're still 1 foot in the closet, you know, even though they might be in their 70s.
Yeah.
They still haven't made a decision.
There's still a lot of discrimination against bisexuals amongst those groups. And you know, the more that we can try to, you know, get the word out and talk to people and help them understand. And this isn't just for the heterosexual community. It's both lesbian and gay communities as well. And I think we could do a whole nother podcast on that. But yeah, like you said, it's not as easy for bisexual individuals to go and be as accepted.
Yeah. So, you know, how do we solve this? Mm-hmm. We need this good supportive community. We need to combat this loneliness and isolation, you know, specifically and especially as we age. You know, where do we get this support in later life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it has to come from social community networks. We have to build those early on and help people to feel part of it from a young age and pull people in, even if they're not part of it as they age. But it's got to come from the community. It's got to come from the people.
Yeah. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, you increase that support, you increase life satisfaction, and then you help people live happier, longer lives.
And if they're happier and healthier, it also reduces the societal cost.
Yes. Okay, so.
Should we move on to physical health?
Yes.
This one is exhaustive, and I'm not sure how much detail we need to go into, but we can just kind of start and see where it goes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So in this paper, we're jumping to another paper now, then they were looking at the specific physical health issues in the bisexual community. So it does go through a lot of very specific issues, and it was actually really quite thorough because it broke down not just specific issues, but it broke down within different communities, so different ethnicities, male, female, those who, you know, different sexual identities. It was really quite exhaustive. But, you know, to start with, they were looking at women and they found that sexual minority women compared to heterosexual women, so those in the LGBT community compared to heterosexuals, had an increased risk of physical diseases like arthritis, diabetes, GI issues, which were 2 times more likely, just huge, cardiovascular disease, heart attack, high cholesterol, hypertension, hepatic disease, obesity, stroke. You get the point.
This podcast is fucking depressing.
But what was also interesting was that women with both same and opposite sex partners, so bisexual women, had much higher risks of physical issues than even those within the lesbian community. And it's really just kind of fascinating when you look at it in that respect and just all the different physical issues that were more prominent.
Yeah, and so, of course, the men had similar issues. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to list them all because it's just fucking depressing. but specifically, the bisexual men were at a higher risk for GI issues and obesity, mm-hmm. which just tells me that just sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
We all get stressed, and what stress makes my stomach hurt sometimes. I understand.
Stress and depression, it's not,
So men with both same and opposite sex partners had a much higher risk of most of the issues, which, yeah, lucky them. why can't we have a higher risk for, you know, lots of money and winning the lottery? So individuals then who are unsure about their sexual identity had increased risk factors for cardiovascular. I mean, because look, if you're confused, you're not excluded here. You're a part of this group. So you too have increased risk for cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and having more physical health conditions compared to heterosexually identified individuals.
Lucky you.
Fucking straights. I just want to make a point too that, you know, people are like, oh, you know, the gays, the lesbians, the trans, the bi people are going to hell. Nobody ever says you're going gay to hell. You're not going lesbian to hell. You're not going bi to hell. You're not going trans to hell. What do they say? You are going straight to hell. I love my straight people. I'm just letting you know. I love you, but
we're all going to hell together.
We're all going to hell together.
Yeah, and what was also interesting, like I said, this paper kind of broke down amongst non-Hispanic whites, non-Hispanic blacks, Hispanic and Latinos, and it looked at the physical disparities between them. And it's just, it's really kind of fascinating how all of this kind of ties together. But amongst all of the groups, people who identify as bisexual still had heightened risk for certain physical conditions. And it was usually blood pressure, GI, things like that. So again, stressors, you know.
Yeah. I mean, obesity makes sense. There's that stress eating and that comfort eating.
Yeah. And it's kind of the overall trend for many of them, which not necessarily all of it, but the overall trend was that lesbian and gays communities had higher risk of some diseases compared to heterosexual, and then the bisexuals were even higher than that. But it's, again, it just shows that marginalization and the effect that it can have, not just mentally, but also physically.
Yeah. I will say, looking at this over this whole paper, the one thing that really stuck out to me as a positive in this whole mire, quagmire of depressing shit was the majority of individuals who reported never having sex were identified as heterosexual and had exclusively opposite sex attractions, which means they are the virgins. The straight, the heterosexuals, if you're bisexual, if you're gay, if you're lesbian, you are more likely to at least have had sex.
Awesome. I hope you enjoyed it.
In this study. Now, don't be depressed. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, interestingly as well, they were looking at people who had said that they were unsure about their sexuality. And they were at increased risk for, like, high blood pressure and some other physical conditions amongst men, but not women. So, that I thought that was really kind of fascinating.
Interesting. That is interesting.
Yeah. And then those who never had sex, certain groups had, again, higher propensities for, like, women and white groups were at an increased risk for obesity. White and black individuals were increased risk for high blood pressure. But it really is interesting how it's not, you know, how not knowing, being unsure about your sexuality or never having had sex, and I don't know the age range. I'd have to go back and look at the age range of the individuals in this study. But just seeing how that uncertainty and the lack of acceptance, even to yourself, how that affects your physical health. So, yeah this paper was kind of depressing. But it's also really important information, and it really does show, it really just highlights these effects.
Yeah. It is depressing.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Sometimes when I'm home alone,
mm-hmm,
I just sing to myself, all by myself.
I see what you did there.
See?
Yeah.
Makes me feel better.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm trying to liven up this podcast. It's kind of, it's depressing. I don't want our people to back at home and in the car. It's just like sobbing and crying.
No, don't
unless
do that.
Unless they're laughing too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Should we jump on to the next, like, subject matter of?
Let's do it.
Whew.
Move my notes around here. Okay.
We touched a bit on biphobia, and again, you know, despite making up more than half of the LGB community, bisexuals are often described unique. Well, we've described unique experiences of stigma and exclusion. Yay! Common stereotypes included with biphobia are: bisexuals are promiscuous and carriers of sexually transmitted diseases. You know, I sort of wish we had a sound on the podcast where we go, incorrect.
I'm sure there's an app on the phone. Do you want me to find something?
I've looked before. I remember one time while with C&D, I was looking for crickets. Yeah. Because she said every time she made a joke, it was just crickets. And, uh-huh. Yeah, anyway. Bisexuals are untrustworthy or traitors to the LGBT community. I think that's interesting, too, because they include the word B in LGBT community. And mm-hmm. I mean, I guess as a traitor, you are part of the community. But also, I feel myself over here getting angry and it's just like,
brr. So a couple of good examples of that one are, I know that I've heard mentioned from several people within the lesbian community that they won't date a bisexual woman because you always just go back to a dick anyway in the end.
Yeah.
And so that, and that's definitely something that I've heard. I know friends of mine have heard it as well. But also part of this is when they say that bisexuals can take advantage of heterosexual privilege because it's not always obvious that you're bisexual, and a lot of people can mistake you for being heterosexual, and there's privilege associated with that. But what was interesting was recently when we were talking to someone, and he was in the gay community in a small town, and he made the comment that, and I might get it a little bit wrong, so correct me, but he made the comment that he always thought, you know, that you had it easy because you can just go down to the pub and blend in and watch the footy with the other guys and this kind of thing, but didn't realize how difficult it actually was for a bisexual male.
Yeah.
But it is that misconception that, oh, well, you can just kind of blend in, but you can't. Not the same.
Blending in is not being...
It's not acceptance.
It's not acceptance. It's not being one of the group.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really difficult distinction that a lot of people have making. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Bisexual women are only... they're only aiming to seek sexual attention from heterosexual men. And look, we've all seen it at clubs, at pubs, and at on dance floors, the women making out, you know, but to assume that they're only doing it for attention or to gain a heterosexual partner, I mean, I've never quite understood that, because don't you think that if they just walked up and made out with the guy, they would get more attention than if they were making out with another woman? I mean, if the D was all they wanted, why wouldn't they just go after the D? I don't know. Just doesn't make... There's a logical jump there that I can't make. And then lastly, that bisexual men are too afraid to fully come out and therefore really just gay. Oh, I hate people so much. So angry. Throw the paper away. Yeah, anyway, so I'm over here mumbling to myself because it just pisses me off. Ugh.
Yeah.
Makes me angry. It's like, yeah, I must be gay. I just really, really like eating pussy. And
you're really, really good at it for a gay guy.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, most gay men are terrified of vagina.
Yeah.
Like, you say the word and they're like, ah, and they run away. Not because they're like screaming like a girl, but just like they're screaming. That's how they scream. Ah, God. You're like, that's disgusting. I mean, I've heard them also go, oh, fuck, no. You know, so it's, you know, anyway. But...
Well, we do know that many horror creatures are designed after vaginas.
That's right. If you look at the perfect example, if you've ever seen the movie Starship Troopers, look at the big brain creature. It is clearly a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the designer of that creature was gay. I need to
We'll have to look that up.
I need to look that up and figure it out. That's gonna be a long podcast. Also, Starship Troopers. Woo.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, we're ready to move on to the next series of papers here?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, this paper, the keynote of this paper was that bisexual men are less likely than gay men to disclose their sexual orientation. That was sort of the overview of the paper. But then they tried to dissect that and say, okay, why is this? And ultimately, it's either whether it's real or whether it's perceived. Did I say perceived? It's perceived.
Perceived.
Interesting. My country's coming out. See, I get a little bit of alcohol in me, a little bit of anger in me.
And the country comes out.
The country comes out, and I'm saying perceived instead of perceived. And, okay. Whether it's real or not. Is that the negative emotional reactions from others. And I can understand that. When I came out to my mom, I thought for sure she was going to be mad at me and was not going to react the way that she did.
Yeah. Because it's always one of those things that what you can imagine in your head is likely worse than reality.
Yes.
It may not be, but it's likely is. Most of the time it is. Because we always think of the most negative outcome and anticipate that and prepare ourselves for that.
Yeah. And we've said before, your imagination is two things. It's the cruelest thing that you've got, and it's a fucking liar. Mm-hmm. I think I'm probably quoted it on the podcast before, but Stephen King, who said the most frightening thing he can write is someone knocked at the door. Because no matter who the reader is, they'll come up with the worst thing that could possibly be behind the door for them. And as soon as he writes that the door opens, that, you know, nothing he could describe is going to be worse than what you imagined was behind that door. And I think that sort of falls into this as well. So something else that was noted was that negative changes in relationships, again, whether they're real or all in your furry little head. Mm-hmm. And again, I look at my furry little head when I had split up from my first wife. And there was a big company meeting that was coming up, and it had been a few months, and my boss was talking about coming to this Christmas party. And I said, well, I've actually got someone who may come with me. He's like, oh, great. I can't wait to meet her. And there's that fear of, oh, because it was a guy. And I was like, oh, geez. And I was like, well, actually it's a guy. He goes, oh, great. I can't wait to meet him. Yeah. And it was just like there was no, and again, there was that fear in my head of what was going to be, and it was anti to what it was. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and then another reason why bi men were less likely than gay men was because of the belief that others have stigmatizing attitudes towards homosexuality. Completely understandable belief because you do see that. Now it is better, and I think we're getting there, but and it can also depend on where you live, the community around you,
definitely.
That type of thing. But yeah, if you believe that people are going to stigmatize you, then if they feel this way about homosexuals, well, they're going to feel that way about bisexuals too. That's kind of that path that you think about. And it could also be that maybe you've had a prior experience with negative reactions whenever you've come out to other people, or you've disclosed something very personal to someone else and they've had a negative reaction. Well, that's going to make you less likely to want to disclose your sexuality or something else important to them.
Once bitten, twice shy kind of thing. Yeah. Wanting to maintain the perception that people have of you or others' perceptions of yourself. You know, that's maintaining the status quo. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want to throw I almost went Australian. You don't want to throw a spanner in the works, a wrench in the works. We've been down here long enough that I've changed wrench to spanner. There's one. You don't want to throw a wrench in the machine and make a change that you're not, that you don't think you're ready to deal with or can deal with. Mm-hmm. And then the fear that those told would tell other people.
Right.
Because as we all know, good news travels fast. Bad news travels faster, and if they think it's bad news, they're going to tell everybody that they possibly know.
Right, and it's your story. You should be able to tell it when and where you want to, but you know how people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, it's just the fear of rejection. Again, be it religious, be it cultural, be it your little culture that you live in, a small town, be it the apartment building that you're in.
Or the country you live in.
Or what country you live in. Yeah. It is just what within the last 14 days, mm-hmm. it's become legal to be gay in India.
Yeah.
And that's just remarkable. Like it's to say something like that is illegal is just,
it's almost unfathomable to us.
Yeah. I really can't.
Yeah.
because what is it? Something to the effect of 4 to 7% of the population is non-heterosexual. Mm-hmm. So that means 4 to 7% of the population was illegal.
Yeah.
That's just like, that's crazy.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Need a drink.
So there was another paper that was really kind of interesting, and it kind of took me down a whole nother path and made me think about things differently because, you know, here we are talking about bisexual individuals being a minority within a minority and you know, the experiences and the effects that all of this has on bisexuals. But this paper highlighted the fact that there's not been a lot of work done to study the experiences of those who are in multiple minorities. So you look at like a black bisexual.
Yeah.
What is their experience compared to a white bisexual? And so it was really kind of just highlighting the fact that we need to address these and minimize the impact because everyone does deserve to be true to themselves. But, you know, for someone who is part of multiple minorities, it can become infinitely more difficult to live your true life and to be true to yourself. And I
can't imagine that. No. Yeah. And, you know, we've made some friends recently that are both trans and bisexual.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to clear that up for anybody who is unclear, transgender has to do with your gender. So if you look at, you identify as being male or female, and your sexuality is nothing to do with that. Mm-mm. It's as different as the sound of your voice and your eye color. They are completely non-related. So, you know, you've got people who are in the trans community who have gone through some of the surgeries to more closely identify to the gender in which they feel, and they're bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is like, I can't imagine how they deal with all of the pressures from both sides of that.
Yeah.
Both within their community and outside of. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It really is an interesting area that can definitely use a lot more examining and looking at, and again, a lot more support for individuals.
Yeah.
Is needed. Yeah.
Cool. So I think we're going to wrap up. That's a lot of deep stuff. And, you know, we've got a lot more. We've got more papers that we're going to dig through. And
spoiler alert, one of them goes into sexual behaviors, like specific sexual behaviors, and the effect of your sexuality on your specific behaviors. So I'm really excited to share that one because it's kind of fun.
good. Something uplifting. Yeah, we definitely appreciate, I think, folks sticking with us through this one, because yeah. I know, again, it was kind of...
It's a little more serious, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's unlike some of the stuff that we normally do, in that we try to make it uplifting and light and fun and happy, and yeah, this was not any of that.
No, but it's good information, and I think it's important for all of us to kind of realize it and face it, and let's do something about it. Even if it's little by little, one person at a time, it all makes a difference.
That's right. That's right. So if you are listening to this and you are straight or gay or lesbian, number one, thank you for listening to us. Number two, be nice to everybody. And if you're bisexual, be nice to everybody as well.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's stuff that we can all learn, and that we, again, just to reiterate once again, you do not have to understand someone in order to accept them.
And if you do see someone that needs help or that may be hurting or alone, reach out. It doesn't take much. Just a kind word, a gesture.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
And that's something that we've seen a lot of recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's just for those situations where we're trying to prevent suicide or trying to prevent self-harm. I think that is something we could all do in general. Just say, hey, are you doing okay? Just reach out to somebody and try to give them a hand to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So We've gone through a lot of stuff. We've gone through a lot of data. I'm sure there are people out there that are shaking their fists at their listening device and saying, I don't agree. So if you don't agree, feel free to email us. We'd love to see what you think, or if you don't like some of the data, or if you want to know where the data came from.
Happy to pass it along.
To pass it along. Again, thank you to the wonderful listener who sent us all this information. It's fantastic. We've got at least one more podcast, maybe two more podcasts of stuff that we need to sort through, sift through. And we will start working on that in the not too far distant future.
Yes.
In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us. We are theatomsoflove@gmail.com. Or you can find us on the Twitters, on the Instagrams, or on the Facebooks. You can find us there. We are By the By Podcast in all of those locations. That's BYTHEBI Podcast. Yeah. If you're a new listener, I promise that most of our stuff is much more uplifting and happy. So lastly, if you want to help us out, and I mean, look, we've already encouraged you to reach your hand out and help somebody and help others. Well, if you want to help us, reach into your pocket and get your credit card out and then go to patreon.com. So our Patreon page, we're going to have some videos on there of us talking about things such as pegging and consent. Mm-hmm. Whatever Patreon will let us put up there, it won't be porn. But yeah, we will put some of that stuff up on Patreon. If you want to get your grubby little hands on, say, some cum rags, we've got those on Patreon as well.
And they're awesome.
They're pretty awesome. So yeah.
I love them. It doesn't take a lot to make me happy. Give me a cum rag.
if you want a slightly used cum rag, that's extra. So thank you very much for listening, and I guess we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.